prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned for you today. During the first hour, we're going to be doing Science for Humans with Dr. Jeff Galini, talking about an essential nutrient, vitamin C, something we must get from our diet. Then we're going to change it up and talk about something very, very interesting, mostly to men, but to women as well. When sleep does harm, this is a very, very important topic. And then the last half hour of today's show, is being human a gut feeling? This is an interesting twist on the microbiome that actually speaks to some of the things that I've talked about, my own beliefs about the microbiome in past shows. But let's get started first with his theme music, of course.
This is Science for Humans with Dr. Jeff Galini.
How you doing, Dr. Jeff?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Carl?
Fantastic, fantastic. And you know, quite often it's these simple things, the things we take for granted that we don't talk about. We talk about all the sexy stuff, you know what I mean? But the simple things like vitamin C get overlooked, but they are profoundly important to the human condition, aren't they?
They are. And, you know, I think most people have heard of vitamin C, so it's not like one of those secret vitamins. You can find it on all the store shelves, but it's probably one of the most important.
From what standpoint, Dr. Jeff?
Well, I think from the main standpoint is the fact that humans cannot synthesize vitamin C. It's something we have to get in our system. Most of the animals and the plants can actually synthesize vitamin C from glucose. But for us, we can't. We have to take it in from our diet.
And in fact, vitamin C has an effect similar to glucose. We could talk about that later in the discussion. So what is vitamin C specifically from a chemical or molecular standpoint?
So here's kind of the technical for our techs out there. Basically, the term vitamin C applies to substances that possess antibuteric activity. And these include two compounds and their salts. L-ascorbic acid, which is commonly just called ascorbic acid, and L-dehydroxyascorbic acid. So ascorbic acid is the major dietary form of vitamin C. So if you see vitamin C out there, you will always see primarily vitamin C. So therefore, the terms vitamin C, ascorbic acid, L-ascorbic acid, L-ascorbate, and ascorbate are commonly used interchangeably. So vitamin C essentially is a hexose derivative similar in structure to a 6-carbon sugar glucose. And as we said, it's an essential nutrient for humans. As we were saying just a few minutes ago, there's only a few species of animal other than primates, guinea pigs.
Certain bats. There's certain bats and certain fish.
Yeah, the Indian fruit-eating bat, the red-vented barbel. And there's even some forms of birds, a few forms of salmon and trout and carp and a couple insects that actually that's essential to. But everybody else, all the other animals can synthesize. This was kind of interesting because we do have goats out here. I found that a 70-kilo goat can manufacture up to 13 grams of vitamin C a day.
Really?
Yeah, that seemed like an awful lot. But I guess they're always out there eating.
Yeah, they forage. They forage. They're constantly eating. Yeah. And I have a theory on this, why some species have continued to produce vitamin C and others have stopped. You want to hear it?
I would like to hear that.
Okay, so vitamin C mimics glucose and can actually extend the half-life of the circulation of glucose in the bloodstream. And that's why when you go for a glucose tolerance test, they always tell you not to eat anything or take any vitamin C supplements, or eat anything with vitamin C in it, because it'll actually extend the curve of glucose in the bloodstream. And some people say it extends the curve, and some people say it's indistinguishable from glucose in a glucose tolerance test. So whichever one of those is, I'm not going to debate. But what I will say is that I think that through evolution, those of us who found ways to obtain more refined sources of sugar in our diet, we had to stop producing vitamin C to protect our bodies.
Interesting.
That's just my, you know, thoughts on it. But anyway, okay.
Yeah, that is some good thoughts. And, you know, this kind of goes back all the way to, oh boy, the 1400s where, you know, sailors would take these long trips and obviously they could only pack so many perishable fruits and vegetables. And these were some of the first side effects of vitamin C deficiency started to be noticed. There were even ports where they would literally grow orange trees so that they could stop and eat oranges, you know, every 4 weeks or something. And if somebody was sick, they would actually leave them. And if they were better, pick them up on the way back.
And in fact, isn't that why vitamin C is called ascorbic acid, because of the derivative from the word scurvy?
That is. That's actually a Latin term. Scurvy, which comes from scorbutus, which is where we get ascorbic acid and scurvy, yeah, which we'll talk about a little bit later on in the show here.
Now, we hear a lot about certain vitamins affecting enzymatic cascades and being catalysts for certain enzymatic processes in the body. I think vitamin C plays a role in about 8 of them or 9 of them, right?
Absolutely, you know, and that's kind of the next point is, okay, it's essential, but what does it do? So there are at least a minimum of 8 enzymatic reactions. One of the biggest is the production of a protein called collagen, which is essential for skin, tendons, ligaments, blood vessels. Vitamin C also helps healing wounds, scar tissues, maintains cartilage, bones, and teeth, and is also an antioxidant. So, you know, you've got all this free radical simulation. You've got immune building things and a variety of other claims to fame of vitamin C, which, you know, some people will say that it works. Some science says it hasn't officially been documented.
You know, we had a group on from the UK, a group of scientists that came on, and they had done a study on vitamin C supplementation. They used a liposomally delivered vitamin C because it's supposed to be more efficient. But they did a study, and I think it was a 6-week study on women where they just took 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day, and they compared this fine lines and the hydration and the quality of the skin on the face. And it improved so dramatically that you could see it just in pictures. You didn't have to, like, go to the more abstract ways of measuring collagen production in the skin. And they did do that, and they showed that collagen production increased dramatically when you use vitamin C. And what I say to people about this is a lot of people take glucosamine and chondroitin products, or they'll take supplements that are supposed to benefit their joints, but they fail to take vitamin C, which is an important catalyst for those things to even work in the first place.
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of collagen products out there, but who knows really how well those are absorbed, if at all. But vitamin C is the way to handle that. So if you do have joint problems and issues, a lot of times it's a collagen deficiency, and vitamin C will help boost that uptake.
In fact, a major step forward in tumescent liposuction was when they started to add simple vitamin C to the saline that they use to irrigate and evacuate. So anybody who knows about liposuction, they poke little holes in your skin. They go in there with a cannula, and the cannula both sprays out fluid and sucks it back in. And the idea is that the fat cells, like little droplets, get washed away into it and then sucked back into it. Well, what they found out was when they added vitamin C, just a very, very low amount, I think it's 6% vitamin C solution to the saline, the skin, after the tumescent liposuction process, pulled in like 10 times faster. And that was because it caused new collagen to be produced and heal the wounds and make the connective tissue that keeps the skin close to the muscle stronger. So there you go. More about vitamin C.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think everyone or most people, you know, when you think you got a cold, what do? They go take some vitamin C.
Does that make sense?
You know, it kind of does, but there really isn't any medical research that shows that vitamin C actually has anything to do with the cold. But if you want my opinion, it's very important for the immune system because vitamin C is found in high concentrations in all of our immune cells. And we know that anytime we have infection, the common cold, that vitamin C is used up. So therefore, you know, the quicker we can replenish that C into those immune cells could possibly be one of the reasons why people do think vitamin C does help them have a cold.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the conditions that develop in low vitamin C. I think you want to talk about scurvy as well. And then we'll talk about sources of vitamin C. We're talking with Dr. Jeff Galini. This is Science for Humans. We're talking about a vital nutrient you must get from your diet, and that is vitamin C. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Freakish muscle gains, Freak Maker Build from AAEFX. It's a scientifically engineered post-workout formula that combines Frodolan, whey isolate, whey concentrate, milk isolate, casein and egg, quality protein sources with carbolin, prealkaline and medium chain triglycerides, a 2-to-1 carb to protein ratio to optimize post-training recovery and repair. Freak Maker Build delivers 58 grams of fast-absorbing carbolin to replenish glycogen stores and 1.5 grams of prealkaline pH buffered creatine monohydrate. Get Freak Maker Build today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AAEFX banner ad.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced Phytoform. Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get 2 bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic, raw, EVOO, for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to oral health problems. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support, to weight management, to nervous system support, to detox and cleansing, and more. Michael's naturopathic programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Now I want to see if you can rock my beat. Now all hip-hop beats go boom, boom, tap. So check this out.
Boom, boom, tap. Boom, boom. We're going to boom, boom, tap right back into the show here. Welcome back to Science for Humans. You know, we have a lot of music in our library. You never know what you're going to get. And if you hear a dog barking, it's because the company in our neighboring office, they have two standard poodles that the owner insists on bringing in from time to time. So,
boy. We do have the best music, I'll have to say that.
I know, right? So, okay, so what are we looking at as far as, are there any signs of deficiency in vitamin C, or is it only when you get a bad disease that you know?
No, there are some. And again, you have to be really careful with self-diagnosing, because a lot of the symptoms are general to other things. But one thing is just a general fatigue and depression, again, caused from a vitamin C. We were talking about, you know, with weak collagen or low collagens, you could have some joint pain, connective tissue type problems.
So do you think that if you're training and you start tearing muscles and stuff like that, it could be a vitamin C deficiency?
I think it could be, because again, you know, if your immune system is jeopardized and during training, you know.
Well, especially because of the collagen, the soft tissue issue, you know.
So I think definitely it would be something for anyone who's training, any athlete, you know, they should take in some extra vitamin C. And if you have trouble with wounds healing, you know, again, that's kind of a vitamin C deficiency. But here's the big one. It's something called scurvy. And most of us probably only remember it from the pirate movies, you know, where they talk about having scurvy.
Right.
Which is where it, you know, kind of first was discovered. But scurvy isn't very popular anymore because it doesn't take a whole lot of vitamin C to prevent it. And I thought this is kind of an interesting thing is, you know, medically it's proven that one of the main deficiencies of vitamin C is scurvy, which comes from the fact that vitamin C is required for the synthesis of collagen. Yet we can't say that vitamin C prevents scurvy.
Interesting. Really?
Isn't that interesting?
Is that thanks to the Food and Drug Administration?
That is, because if we say that, vitamin C now becomes a drug.
Yeah.
That's the difference between drugs and dietary supplements / food.
Well, nobody better mention the fact that if you don't breathe air, you'll die, because then air will become a drug.
It's a drug, and you get a prescription for it.
That'll be our little secret, okay?
But scurvy is really bad. Like I said, it's not very common. Probably maybe in some third world countries where, you know, they don't have access to fruits and vegetables, but usually they do have some access. But it starts with just lethargy, you know, malaise, and then it's followed by spots on the skin, spongy gums, bleeding from mucous membranes.
Wow.
And then as that advances, you know, you could lose your teeth, jaundice, fever. And eventually a death just from pure hemorrhaging, you know, as these blood vessels become ruptured and weak. So pretty nasty disease. So one of the main reasons why we need to take in vitamin C. And again, that's kind of part of the whole wound healing thing.
We've had a couple scientists on the show that are championing the subclinical deficiency of vitamin C campaigns out there, saying that, you know, scurvy is what happens when there is just an overwhelming degree of deficiency of vitamin C. But nasty things happen even in the subclinical ranges. Most notably, one Dr. Thomas Levy has written a whole book about vitamin C and plaque, arterial plaque. He said, look, if you don't want arterial plaque, make sure you're getting enough vitamin C.
Now, well, and there's been a lot of studies, especially through the naturopathic clinics, where they use vitamin C therapy for people with cancer.
Yeah, but it's intravenous. It's delivered intravenously.
Absolutely, yeah. High doses. And I know it's been effective. No current treatment is 100% effective. So I don't know how they can say that it's not, that it's better than, you know, chemotherapy when people have been healed through that. So the other thing I wanted to talk about is it's very easy. So how do you know if you're deficient in vitamin C? Well, I guess if you felt tired, fatigued, depressed, that might be one way, but you can go to the doctor. Most places like Montana, we can just walk into the lab and we can order our own urine or blood test, and we just have a menu, vitamin C, lipids.
Is there an ideal level of vitamin C? I mean, we're learning more about vitamin D and its sweet spot. Is there a sweet spot for vitamin C levels?
You know, according to the North American Dietary Reference Intake, governed by the FDA, they're saying that, you know, 90 milligrams a day is really the essential amount to not only prevent scurvy, but to be efficient, and no more than 2,000 milligrams per day. I think a lot of it probably does depend on age, weight, gender, activity levels.
Right.
You know, I think, again, if you're training, you need a little bit more. But, you know, again, just to prevent that. The other thing is you're probably wondering, well, where do you get vitamin C from? Do you just have to take a vitamin? Most all fruits and vegetables contain vitamin C. And you're probably thinking, well, oranges are probably the highest source. And actually, oranges are relatively down the totem pole.
Really?
There's something called have you heard of a Kakadu plum?
No.
I've never heard of a Kakadu plum, but it can contain up to 5.3 grams of vitamin C per 100 grams of fruit.
Wow.
And then something relatively new in the dietary supplement realm is Camu Camu, which is about 2.8 grams. You see a lot of times the acerola, but most of these things are things we don't commonly eat. Parsley has 130 milligrams per gram. Broccoli is high. And then oranges and lemons around that 53 milligram. So again, a couple oranges a day if you were to get it from no other sources, and you have plenty of vitamin C. But you also can get it from animal sources if you are someone who eats liver, raw oysters, cod, pork, lamb. They're relatively they've got a vitamin C present. And most of it is dependent upon how you cook it. You know, being that vitamin C is soluble, mm-hmm. It will decompose, you know, when you start to cook fruits or vegetables. So it's always best to eat those raw.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the other thing that I wanted to mention about vitamin C, I'm looking at the Kakadu fruit. It's actually it's from Australia. The Aborigines there apparently eat it. And so anybody who's in Australia, you ought to think about start importing Kakadu fruit. We're already importing Manuka honey from New Zealand, so this would be a nice addition into the United States.
Yeah, a couple drops and you got your vitamin C for the day.
I take 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day. I think that's more than adequate. Some people take more than that. An interesting unwanted, I don't know about that, an interesting side effect of vitamin C is that if you are a high aromatizer of aromatizable androgens, this is DHEA, testosterone, vitamin C can actually reduce aromatization by reducing the aromatase enzyme synthesis. Vitamin C interrupts the cyclooxygenase step of the P450 cytochrome enzyme cascade, and that's the precursor to aromatase. So, and that's why inflammation influences estrogen production in men too, by the way. But if you have a mild aromatizing effect, your doctor says, you know, your estrogen's a little higher than I'd like to see it, it's not dangerous, just taking some vitamin C every day combined with zinc can actually reduce the aromatase enzyme in your body.
Absolutely. And keep in remembrance that vitamin C is water soluble. So taking a whole lot at one time isn't always necessarily the best. It's better to space it out. But it's pretty hard to, again, OD, overdose on vitamin C because it is water soluble. If you are taking too much, most people will get some type of indigestion or diarrhea.
Uh-huh.
Toxic levels, there was one study where adults took 6 grams per day over a 1,400-day span, and they noticed some nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, flushing of the face.
1,400 days?
1,400-day study. How about
so
that?
So it's a four-year, about approximately four-year study, 3, 6, 9, yeah. 12, but five-year study. Wow.
Now, the only other thing is vitamin C also enhances the absorption of iron. So if you've got, you know, some rare overload disorder to iron, you might want to be careful because, again, vitamin C will increase that absorption and you could end up with, you know, some iron poisoning. But, again, it's very, very rare.
Yeah. Men should heed that because women who are still menstruating get rid of some of their iron every single month through the natural process of menstrual bleeding. And this is why I'm a huge proponent of men, especially when you get over 35 years old, to start donating blood with regularity. Once every 3 months, one pint of blood. This is what I call planned phlebotomy. Everybody talks about detoxification. There's no better detox process than to empty the radiator of a pint of rusted out old radiator fluid and fill it up with some fresh fluid. And that's what you're effectively doing to your body because it's a closed system. When you give a pint of blood, your body produces a new pint of blood. Guess what? New pints of blood come with new stem cells. New stem cells help repair tissue. And it rids your body of metals a pint at a time. So this is why if you are taking high doses of vitamin C and you're a man, you are accumulating iron. One of the early signs of it is graying hair. By the way, get rid of some of that iron by donating blood once a month.
Good one. And yeah. Don't use those old kits where they – remember the old bleeding kits in the old days that they used to sell?
Yeah. You used to go to your barber. You know, back in the day, people don't know this, but when I was a kid at least, you could go to the barber and get a bloodletting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that, right? That's amazing to me that they still practice that sort of stuff back in the late 50s, early 60s.
Well, and it kind of led to, like you said, you know, it is good to replenish that blood. It's just back then, yeah, they did it themselves at home, and then you got a whole bunch of other ailments.
Yeah.
So eat some oranges, eat some fruit. If you think you're a little deficient, find a good source. And I always say a good source. We're going to talk in a few weeks about where you find good sources of vitamins. So you want to have a reputable source of vitamin C, not necessarily the cheapest one you can find out there.
Yeah. Absolutely. Dr. Jeff, as always, thank you so much for the enlightening discussion, and we'll see you next week.
You're welcome. Anyone have any questions, go to superhumanradio.com and look for Ask the Scientist, and I'll answer your questions.
Right on the homepage. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take one quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about a very important subject that doesn't get talked about enough, and that is when sleep does harm. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you want freakish muscle gains? Freakmaker Build from AAEFX is a scientifically engineered post-workout formula that combines Frotalin, whey isolate, whey concentrate, milk isolate, casein and egg, quality protein sources with carbolin, prealkaline, and medium-chain triglycerides. A 2-to-1 carb-to-protein ratio to optimize post-training recovery and repair. Freakmaker Build delivers 58 grams of fast-absorbing carbolin to replenish glycogen stores and 1.5 grams of prealkaline pH buffered creatine monohydrate. Get Freakmaker Build today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AAEFX banner ad.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing and effective strength training, muscle building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to BrooksCubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to BrooksCubic.com right now.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoKana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of KetoKana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the KetoKana banner ad today.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Please give us the power to blow people's minds with our high voltage rock. In your name we pray. Amen.
I wanna rock!
And that's the truth. I wanna rock, and I wanna rock for as many years as I possibly can. But there's a silent epidemic in this country, and using the word silent to describe it is really wrong. The only reason why it's silent is because it's happening when we're sleeping. If you've gone to bed and stayed horizontal for 8 hours with your eyes closed, and awakened in the morning, feeling like someone bludgeoned you in your head, waking up and feeling like your head is filled with cotton balls, your eyes are bulging out, you know something's wrong. You just spent 8 hours sleeping. How could you feel like this? How could you feel worse waking up from 8 hours sleep than you did when you went to sleep? Millions and millions of people suffer with this. And because it's like the relationship between an abusive spouse, you have a couple good nights here and there, you believe strongly that, oh, this is just going to go away on its own, but it doesn't. It gets worse and worse and worse. And then you start having some really, really strange things happen with your body. You know, your heart rhythm changes. Your resting heart rate goes from 54 to 56, up to 61 to 72. When you're training, if you're training very heavy, you notice that your heart can't beat as fast as it used to. It gets to a point where all of a sudden, instead of going up to 160, 180, it drops down to 96 and you feel lightheaded. Your memory starts to lag. You just don't understand why. Something's wrong. And how could that be? Because you laid in bed for 8 hours. the requisite 8 hours, and you woke up in the morning, but you felt worse than when you went to sleep. This is when sleep does harm. And the problem is because you don't observe yourself while you're sleeping, you have no idea what's going on, unless you video recorded yourself like I have in the past. And then you start to discover, oh my God, that part of the day that is supposed to be where all the recuperation, all of the rebuilding, all of the recovery, all of the healing, all of the hormones, all of the benefits of sleep that are supposed to occur are not only being robbed from you, but damage is being done. It's not just that you're not getting good sleep. And so it's like, I'm still even Stevens for yesterday. No, you've actually taken steps backwards in health, steps backwards in recovery, steps backwards in progress. And that's what we're going to be talking about today with my guest, Mark Seeger. How you doing, Mark?
I'm well, Carl. How are you?
Good. And
good.
So this is not something that only obese people suffer from. This is not something that only aged people suffer from. This is not something that only men suffer from. This is not something that only adults suffer from. We've done shows in the past where we've talked about moderate to severe snoring in children leads to ADHD. It's conclusive. Correct the snoring, the ADHD goes away. This is a population-wide epidemic. We can't figure out why it's happening, but it's happening. People are smothering in their sleep. Now, did anything I just say, was anything I just said pandering, reaching, or is it accurate?
No, that's an accurate assessment. There are correlations, as you mentioned, to the demographics that you outlined, but sleep apnea can have, it crosses the board. You have individuals that have, it's based on the physiology of their neck, the composition of their neck, partially deviated septum, right up through the respiratory tract that may cause the obstruction, and then you have individuals that through smooth muscle atrophy from aging or through obesity and adipose tissue on the neck causes the airway to narrow. So there's it's a wide breadth of demographic that covers this. And in the years that I did polysomnography, the worst case of sleep apnea that I had seen, obstructive sleep apnea, was in an individual that was, you know, 6'3 and probably weighed 175-80 pounds. It had nothing to do with obesity or age relations. So you're absolutely right. And you mentioned pediatric obstructive sleep apnea. There are studies that have been done. It's an established, you know, peer-reviewed studies that show that for many, if not most, adolescents during a certain period of growth, there's a high incidence of obstructive sleep apnea. Obviously, it's subjective to the individual, but here in the United States, it's really underdiagnosed and undertreated in pediatrics, as opposed to Europe, for example, where they're a bit more aggressive in treating that. And you find in the proper treatment of the adolescent apnea that it assists with cognitive skills and growth and everything else. So it would be nice to see, as time goes by, an increase in diagnosis and treatment of adolescent pediatrics.
And I have some theories on my own, too. So there's a prevalence of gut issues today. And those gut issues are causing distension, distended stomachs. Distended stomachs are evidence of enlarged GI tracts. These are, you know, think of your intestines and your stomach and all the connective tissue becoming swollen. Edema pulls fluid in and things get thick. So if you have a pipe that is an inch around on the outside and almost an inch around on the inside, that's pretty good. But if you have a pipe that's an inch around on the outside, but it's only a third of an inch around on the inside because the pipe itself is thickening, that's not good. And I have this theory, along with the gut issues that we're seeing today, what we're seeing is we're seeing a narrowing of the plumbing between the gut and the mouth that is causing these problems to be caused in people who would not typically fit into the sleep apnea category. This is my own opinion. I have no research to prove it, but I want to mention one other thing, and then we're going to get back to this discussion. For the past couple years, I've been saying snoring in and of itself is indicative of something. It is not natural to snore. and especially not natural to snore. I don't mean grumbling like that. I mean an all-out snarkle snore, like the kind that the Three Stooges used to do to be funny. If you snore like that, your body is undergoing stresses at night that it shouldn't undergo. We are doing a show next week with a scientist who is linking moderate snoring to the development of Alzheimer's disease. So what I've been saying for 2 years is actually playing out in science now. So this isn't just about sleep apnea. This is about snoring too. Pay attention, because we know that in the diabetic model, a person whose blood sugar is moderately high, 90 to 100, just under 120, they're not yet considered from a clinical standpoint diabetic. They are still suffering the same damaging effects of high blood sugar. Those of you out there who are snoring, pay attention. Okay? All right. So let's talk about, are there any symptoms, outward symptoms, other than the fact that you wake up in the morning and feel like somebody hit you in the head with a brick?
Yeah, that was a pretty colorful description, but I think you were spot on as to one of the, depending on the severity of your obstruction, depending on the severity of the obstructive sleep apnea or the sleep apnea in general, the symptoms can vary. To the extreme, you're looking at morning headaches, which obviously suggests cerebral anoxia, low oxygen levels. You can have, for mild or moderate sleep apnea, you can experience cognitive issues. Obviously, the big one is daytime sleepiness, lethargy, being lethargic, having a hard time staying away as the day progresses. More than anything else, that's the over, outside of the your sleep partner actually seeing and witnessing the obstruction and the snoring, these are the things to look for in your daily activity that suggests that something's going on at night relative to your ability to oxygenate yourself. And at the end of the day with sleep apnea, whether it's a neurologically based or a an obstructive apnea, that's what you're treating. You're treating the body's ability to adequately oxygenate itself, and then you run into a whole host of problems that you were outlining with the GI tract, your peripheral vascular system, your cardiovascular system, also a host of problems. But again, to get back to it, the primary symptoms of sleep apnea are daytime sleepiness, decrease in cognitive abilities, and to an extreme, you would be waking up in the morning with a moderate to a severe headache from your oxygen levels dropping through the night.
And I would say that that's when you're already in trouble. I just read a study yesterday whether or not to prescribe CPAP to individuals who have presented sleep apnea in a sleep study but do not experience daytime sleepiness. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? So just because they're able to overcome the daytime sleepiness, maybe they're younger, something, you're going to let them continue to asphyxiate themselves at night? You have to wonder about that?
That would be surprising. I think if a physician, a care practitioner, clinicians are worth their salt, if the clinical manifestations are there for sleep apnea, it warrants further diagnosis and treatment. There's no doubt about that. There are a lot of, when you and I talked previously, there are a lot of treatment modalities for sleep apnea, from dental appliances, mandibular devices, all the way up to, and including positive pressure ventilation, the CPAP and BiPAP machines. So there are a lot of choices out there. Some of them are over the counter, and then others obviously are regulated through prescription. But I'm glad you're putting your focus on sleep apnea on your show here, particularly for your listener base that are into health and taking care of themselves. If you can't, as you mentioned in your introduction, if you can't allow your body to recuperate during this important time of the day, all the positive effects that come from proper nutrition and taking care of your body are somewhat lost.
Right.
If you're not allowing your body
I would go further and say that you're doing harm, because you're breaking down the body. It's unable to recuperate and recover. You're breaking down the body during training. Instead of it recovering, it's breaking down more during sleep. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I want to talk about the two different types of apneic events. One is mediated in the brain. One is mediated mechanically through the throat. And then we're going to talk about the modalities of treatment. But more importantly, for those of you who suspect you have sleep apnea, you've spoken to a doctor, and you found out that you'd have to pay for your own CPAP machine, we have a really interesting solution for you that you're going to love. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You have a boyfriend who looked like a girlfriend. curcumin you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Do you have a federal student loan? Did you know that the federal government has allotted millions of dollars to reduce or forgive your student loan debt? Are you getting your share of these federal forgiveness program dollars? If you answer no, then you need to call 866-539-2755 right now. FedAidAdvisors.com will qualify you right over the phone for free. One free phone call and FedAidAdvisors.com guarantees to reduce your payments, eliminate interest for the first 3 years, and even wipe your loan debt clean for those who qualify. The call is free to find out if you qualify. Call 866-539-2755 right now. That's 866-539-2755.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get 2 bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic, raw, EVOO for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935. Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Standing in the rain,
freezing cold and soaking wet.
Welcome back.
His favorite DJ play a set.
We're talking with Mark Seeger. Now, Mark owns a company called Second Wind CPAP, and I want you to know about his website. If you are one of those people who thinks you would benefit from a CPAP machine, but your insurance company has told you that they won't pay for it, even though you've gone for a sleep study, or you haven't gone for a sleep study, you don't want to be bothered with it, you're a guy, you don't want to sleep someplace else tonight, you know something's wrong, just give me the solution, and you find out, like I did, that a CPAP machine is like $1,100 to $1,500. You can get a factory-refurbished CPAP machine at Mark's website, Second Wind CPAP. That is the right website, right? SecondWindCPAPs.com?
That's it. Yep.
Okay. And I am pimping the website, not for Mark, but for those of you out there who found yourself wanting one of these to find out if it would solve your problem, but didn't want to shell out $1,500 to do so. I got a DeVilbiss factory refurbished machine for a little bit over $300, and the damn thing is so smart. I mean, it's just amazing. But we'll talk more about that later in the show. Let's talk about the two different types of apnea. So there is obstructive sleep apnea, which, as the name indicates, something in the throat is obstructing the body from being able to breathe, right?
That's exactly right.
Okay, yep. But then there's central sleep apnea. This is a little trickier, right?
Right. The two categories of apnea are obstructive and a neurological apnea, neurologically based apnea. And sleep medicine, I think, has finally pinned down. I've been a respiratory therapist 26 years. They've been working on this a long time to try to figure out the etiology or the genesis of central apnea, but they've pinned it down to, it's very subjective to the individual, but it has to do with their sensitivity to CO2 levels in their bloodstream. And if generally speaking, when we breathe, it is a lack of CO2 or a buildup of CO2 that triggers us to breathe. And if that mechanism neurologically gets out of whack, it depresses or suppresses respiratory drive, and that is the primary reason we experience it. Now, there's a number of reasons. There's also a medicinal aspect of that. There is a neurologically based, or a central apnea is a more common term. Some medications can cause respiratory suppression in and of itself.
Which ones, Mark? Treatable. Do you know which ones they are?
Any of the diazepam, anything that be used for pain, for example, is the primary culprit of that. But you do see, in the instance of neurologically based apnea or central apneas, depending on the significance of it, the only treatment for something like that is positive pressure. As opposed to obstructive, you've got different mechanisms that you can use or modalities, dental appliances, CPAP, and so on. When it comes to the severity of the central apnea, the only treatment for that really is positive pressure ventilation to help you take essentially an artificial breath. So, but you do see both, and in many cases you will see, not in many cases, but you will see a mixed or complex apnea where you have both occurrences of obstructive and neurologically based apnea. And in that case, there really is only one therapy modality that's effective, and that is an advanced machine, an advanced BiPAP machine that helps us. So there are effective treatments for something like that, and it is fairly rare that you see it, but it's out there. You know, there are people that suffer from that, and they're very, as you can imagine, they're very, very much challenged.
But the respiratory drive only occurs during sleep, which makes it interesting to me. So what's happening during sleep that they don't need to be ventilated while they're awake? You know what I mean?
Right. Well, when we sleep, there are changes to our respiratory pattern. We tend to breathe shallower and slower, and what is commonly referred to as hypopnea or shallow breathing, and that in and of itself can affect it. But at the same time, there are individuals, particularly that live sedentary lifestyles, where it can affect just breathing low volumes throughout the day. Matter of fact, it's a fairly new term called chronic hypopnea that relates to individuals that, we talked about this a little bit in our previous conversation, that in a society that tends to be more and more sedentary, we breathe shallower. We don't move around as much. We don't take deep breaths. We don't fill our lungs adequately, and that in and of itself can cause issues. And so you will see in particular CPAP and BiPAP therapy used sometimes for the treatment of chronic hypopnea to help individuals as they enter this recuperative stage of their day to take adequate breaths, to provide adequate oxygenation, just based on the fact that they take shallow breaths. But
is there any evidence that athletes have a condition that would mimic this. And here's what I mean about that. So before I started to have poor sleep, my resting heart rate was very low in the 50s. And I noticed that even when I would fall asleep at night after hard training one day, I noticed that, I actually first noticed it when I was sitting in the dentist chair waiting for a dentist to work on me. And I noticed that I took a breath, let it out, and I didn't take another breath for quite some time, to the point where I thought, like, wow, I should take a breath. It caught my attention. But I wasn't starved for oxygen. It was just, wow, I haven't taken a breath in a while. And I started to breathe again. And I started to do research and found that athletes can develop certain pulmonary and cardiac characteristics that are related to athletes that in a sick population could be indicative of an illness. For instance, ultra slow heartbeat, known as bradycardia, is common with athletes because their hearts become bigger and stronger and have to pump less. They pump more effectively, so they have to beat less to get the job done. Number two, if you have a high VO2 max and you are utilizing oxygen on a very, very high level efficiently, you don't have to breathe as frequently. Right. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I have to assume that just as the cardiovascular system compensates through oxygenation, it probably compensates with the CO2 as well. That's supposition on my part. I can't
sure.
speak intelligently about that, but I would assume the beauty of the human body is that it's very compensatory when it comes to that, and I have to assume that as the changes happen physiologically that you described perfectly, I would have to assume that the body would compensate for CO2 as well.
Okay. All right, so we have these two types of sleep apnea, and as you pointed out a moment ago, we're going to go into the break early, actually. I'm looking at the time. Instead of waiting another 30 seconds, let's take our break now. When we come back, I want to talk about all the different modalities of treatment that apply to either of these. And then I want to focus more on CPAP specifically and BiPAP. Okay, so we're talking with Mark Seeger. His website is secondwindcpap.com. He did not ask to be on the show. I asked him to be on the show because I feel that this is an amazing resource. He is the original guy to go into the refurbished CPAP machine business because he saw the need out there for people who wanted or needed a CPAP machine but could not afford to pay for it out of pocket, and their insurance companies wouldn't pay either. They needed a life-saving step that he wanted to fill for them. So if you know somebody who needs a CPAP machine, or you've wanted to try one because you suspect that if you had better sleep, you'd be a better superhuman, go to secondwindcpap.com. We'll be right back.
Health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex is finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising
advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer e-books, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now. At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back. Talking with Mark Seeger about when sleep does harm. And then later in the show, we're going to be joined by Dr. Francois-Joseph Lapointe to talk about, is being human a gut feeling? This is a play on words as we talk deeper about the microbiome. So, what are the different modalities of treatment that would fit either obstructive sleep apnea and or central or neurological sleep apnea?
Well, it starts with assuming a mild case of sleep apnea, there can recommendations are usually to change your sleep position to help better open your airway, make a more patent airway. As the severity of the obstruction increases, you start looking at dental appliances, what are commonly referred to as chin straps. You see advertisements on the internet for something like that that helps keep your mandible in place. You then enter outside of the dental devices. You enter into a more formal approach with positive pressure ventilation with CPAP and BiPAP. Usually those are prescribed for individuals that have a more aggressive obstructive apnea or, as we talked a little bit about before, neurologic apnea.
Yeah, because it acts as a ventilator then, technically, right?
Well, when you hook the system up and you turn it on, you've got a closed pressurized system. Only in the case of an advanced BiPAP and this, where we talked about central apnea, does it act somewhat as a ventilator, where it provides a positive pressure breath when the respiratory rate drops below a certain level. So that, as you can imagine, the sophistication of a CPAP or a PAP device goes from where they're very pedestrian to very complex, using algorithms and everything else.
Uh-huh.
So there's quite a bit of functionality differences between these devices that are again prescribed for the dependent upon the obstruction.
What's the difference between a CPAP and a BiPAP, Mark?
With a CPAP, again, this is a real general term, but with a CPAP machine, you have a device that provides a single pressure during inhalation and exhalation. Some of these devices, if they have the functionality, will soften the pressure to make it easier for you to breathe. Over the last 10 years in particular, the technology and the comfort level has increased somewhat dramatically on these devices. It used to be when these devices were first prescribed in the late 80s, early 90s, they were very straightforward. They just deliver a positive pressure, and that was really the end of it. But as time has gone by, and again, they've been able to tweak the technology to provide a more natural breath when you're breathing on the machine, it has really helped with compliance, people tolerating the units. But a BiPAP machine will provide the ability of setting a pressure during inhalation and a separate pressure, lesser pressure during exhalation. Mm. Commonly, the BiPAP machines are prescribed for individuals that have a more aggressive obstruction. They need higher pressures. And when you're dealing with a CPAP machine, if the pressures start to get too high, you find clinically that people just, they can't tolerate it. It's just too
well, you can't, anymore. You can't exhale. It'll
That's
force
right.
air in and then go try and exhale it, you know?
Right, right. And although that there's physiologically, it's beneficial, but the sense of it, the more of a psychological thing, you feel like you're suffocating, although you're not. So that's part of the thrust behind the technology that softens the pressure during exhalation with CPAP machines, and the advent of the BiPAP machine that provides this the ability to control what pressure you get when you breathe in, and then whatever you can set the expiratory pressure, the pressure during exhalation, wherever you want. And so you see these BiPAP machines, again, prescribed for individuals that have higher inspiratory pressure requirements, but you also see them prescribed for individuals who may not tolerate CPAP, just too much for them. So
Right. They
transition to a BiPAP, which is a much more fluid, just a much more comfortable experience for the person that's using it. The thing about it, Carl, that's been a challenge for sleep medicine and clinicians over the years is that when the therapy was first prescribed, approaching 30 some odd years ago now, the compliance rate, the success rate for this therapy was not good. It was, you know, something along the lines of 45-50% non-compliance. People just can't tolerate it.
Right.
And even with all the technology and all the comfort features and the masks and becoming more comfortable, there's still a relatively high non-compliance rate. And I don't think anymore it's so much the comfort of the machine as it is the follow-up care, and I guess I'm going to get a bit philosophical here, but the care of the individual subsequent to starting the therapy. It's very important, as you're finding, that questions need to be answered. The individual
Right.
that's using this therapy need to be able to interact with clinicians and get their questions answered, and to just that follow-up care is essential. And there are challenges with regard to that in the constructs of insurance and everything else. And, you know, I have to say one of the things we pride ourselves on, and I think the reason why our little business here has been as successful as it has, is we make sure that we provide that to the individuals that choose to do business with us, is that if they make the decision to purchase one of these devices for their therapy, that they have the avenues for follow-up conversations and with individuals that are qualified to answer their questions. So it's a big part of it. And we have found, really almost anecdotally, what we hear from individuals that come to us, that they just don't get that support. Some do, and there are scenarios that provide adequate care for people, but too often, particularly in a prosperous society like we have, you find that a lot of people are falling through the cracks with regard to that.
Well, and it all should be said that insurance companies, it's their job to sidestep payments in order to influence profits. So
Correct.
At any chance they can sidestep a payment, you know, they'll do it. And one of the things that they become very skilled at right now is that unless you have a life-threatening disorder that is absolutely a result of your obstructive sleep apnea, say atrial fib or an arrhythmia, you know, that you're going to be hospitalized for, that's the only time that they'll approve the CPAP machine. And then they don't pay for the whole thing. Quite often they pay for 70% of it. You got to shell out the rest of it. And to majority of people out there who find themselves in a place where, wow, if I don't get my sleep straightened out soon, this is going to become a problem. You have to foot your own bill for a CPAP machine, and they are not cheap.
Well, and that was the inspiration. That was the thrust behind creating the business back in 2005, 2006, when I was diagnosed. You know, I had been a I had been a clinician for 16, 17 years when I was diagnosed with severe sleep apnea, and I was one of those guys. I had a high insurance deductible, $3,000. I'm a fat guy. Nobody wants to, you know, insure a fat guy. And I had a heck of a time trying to figure out a scenario where I could afford the equipment. Now, there's been a lot that's changed over that time. I mean, the equipment has become more affordable, particularly if you gravitate, you know, towards an online entity. The problem with that, it's a very hit or miss proposition. You've got people out there selling this equipment like stereo, you know, equipment, and then you've got people that do it responsibly and thoughtfully. But anyway, the cost can be cost prohibitive if you've been diagnosed and you have that prescription in your hand and you're left either in a rental scenario or you're left with a high deductible. It very well. I mean, we have CPAP machines starting at under $100.
I know.
There are a lot of. Anyway, that was the idea, was to be able to provide. Because I was in that situation, I ended up naively walking down with my prescription and a checkbook to a medical supply store and asked what the cost was for an auto CPAP machine in 2006, and it was something on the order of $1,800.
Right.
And at that time, you could go to eBay and you can buy one for couple hundred bucks.
Right.
You can't any longer. I mean, eBay cracked down, but as they should have. But you had immediately seen this need for individuals that are in a cost prohibitive situation to get affordable equipment. And now, you know, it's shaken out all these years later that half of the population of the folks that give us their business are purchasing they have adequate insurance, but they need a second machine. A backup machine, which is certainly
a travel machine,
yeah.
So
the other half, I would say, are individuals that were in a situation where they were again at the point of needing the equipment, and they were looking at the proposition of spending thousands of dollars, If their psychology gets them to go towards the internet, then they'll find that the equipment is
now,
much more affordable.
Correct me
there.
If I'm wrong, but you are the first company to be doing this on the internet, right?
Yeah, we started with the refurbishing and the reprocessing of the equipment, close to 10 years ago now, and there really wasn't anybody out there doing it then.
Okay.
Certainly not with the selection and the choices that we have available.
The website is SecondWindCPAP.com. If you know somebody who needs a CPAP machine, but they're faced with paying for it out of pocket, I would tell you to send them there, because for a few hundred dollars, they will get an amazing machine. Most of these machines are factory refurbished and come with warranties. I mean, come on. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the advertise with us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes
healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to oral health problems. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoCana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of KetoCana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Cana banner ad today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel, but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Do you want freakish muscle gains? Freak Maker Build from AAEFX is a scientifically engineered post-workout formula that combines Frotalin, whey isolate, whey concentrate, milk isolate, casein and egg, quality protein sources with carbolin, prealkaline, and medium-chain triglycerides. A 2-to-1 carb-to-protein ratio to optimize post-training recovery and repair. Freak Maker Build delivers 58 grams of fast-absorbing carbolin to replenish glycogen stores and 1.5 grams of Cre-alkaline pH-buffered creatine monohydrate. Get Freak Maker Build today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AAEFX banner ad.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Oh, no, we just went that way. No, we just went that way. No, we just went that way. There they go!
She's crazy like a fool.
Welcome back. We're talking with Mark Seeger. We're talking about when sleep does harm. When sleep is not working for you, but working against you, you feel like you wake up in the morning and somebody hit you in the head with a brick. It's a terrible feeling, and I've experienced it myself, and I've had to do things to solve this problem. And I got to tell you, I feel good now. I went to the gym today, and I trained legs, and I squatted heavy like I've not squatted in a long time, and I didn't notice my heart rate flaring up. I mean, it was just, I can tell that I will feel better in just a few months. But with that being said, there's a lot of people out there who are faced with this problem and they don't know what to do. You know, Mark, I did a poll a couple years ago asking men that listed the show, do you snore? Just that simple question. And we had over 8,000 people respond, and like 1.9% of them said no, and the rest of them said yes. I was at the gym a couple weeks ago, and I have a friend who's a bodybuilder. He's a massively strong cut, very, very lean. And I said to him one day, I said, you know, do you snore? And he said to me, only when my GERD bothers me. I says, you have GERD too? He says, yeah. He goes, I get bad acid reflux at night when I'm sleeping. There's a linkage between GERD and sleep apnea. I haven't put it all together yet, but I can't figure out if one causes the other. I have this one theory about, and I think I shared with you off the air one day. You know, if you take a pipe and it's facing north and south, and then in the middle you put a vacuum hose that's sucking air, and you close the bottom and you leave the top open, and the airflow should come from top down into the vacuum hose, right?
Yeah.
But if you obstruct the top, then you create a vacuum inside the tube that's going to pull equally on both ends, correct?
Right.
So what's going to happen to the sphincter at the bottom of the esophagus if it's getting pulled on day in and day out? Whether this pulling is reverberatory or constant, it's going to start to misshape that apparatus at the bottom, and you're going to have leakage from the gut into the throat. So it could be that snoring precedes GERD.
Yeah, and there are correlation studies on that. If an individual Googles both of those terms, they're going to see that there is a direct link between those two. I can't speak intelligently to the mechanics of it, but there's no doubt about it. And all the more reason, again, I hope at the end of the conversation, I hope that the takeaway is for the listener, if they believe that they're suffering from it, that they have a conversation with their physician, because it can be dangerous, it can be life-threatening, and you know, I don't know how much you wanted to get into that aspect of
it. Please, heart failure. Yeah. People die. You always hear about somebody dying in their sleep. Guess what they usually die from?
That's right. Oh, Reggie White's a perfect example of that. You know, there's no doubt that that's what took his life. You know, so it is important, and it is becoming more and more affordable. You know, when individuals think getting diagnosed and treated for sleep apnea, they think a ton of money for a polysomnography, a sleep study, and all of that. And what has changed, the landscape has changed over the last 5-6 years in particular, is it is becoming more affordable to be diagnosed and treated. And those, I don't know if you want to go into that now or not.
Please,
but
please.
Yeah. There nowadays, and it's become so popular that actually Medicare will reimburse not only for the study, but the equipment subsequent to the study, CPAP, BiPAP equipment in particular, I know they cover, is what's called a type 2 or type 3 take-home study, really is a loose definition for it. But this is a test that you sit down with a clinician, they talk to you for a bit of time about how to hook it up. You put it into a padded manila envelope, you take it home, you hook it up in your own bed, and there are several channels, maybe depending on which one you go with, but it's going to monitor your heart rate and the flow of air through your nose and the chest rise and so on. It's not difficult to hook up, but you hook it up, you sleep in your own bed. There's no cameras, there's no leads on your forehead and all of that intrusiveness, and you take it back to the clinic the next day, and that's the end of it. Well, hopefully, and that you're talking a price tag on that of about $250. That includes the physician's interpretation. And many times, if there's something remarkable that comes out of that study, the physician will prescribe an auto-titrating or auto-adjusting CPAP machine. And this is relatively new. I mean, the technology isn't necessarily new, but the physician's willingness to prescribe this is starting to increase. At least that's been my observation. So I think part of that comes, I think there's a number of reasons that's happening, but the bottom line is, at the end of the day, it makes it a more affordable process for an individual, half the reason, at least it's been my observations, half the reason an individual doesn't want to go through the study is not only the expense, but the discomfort that comes from going to a strange place in a strange bed with cameras and people watching you try to get to sleep. And
right.
One of the problems we've seen as clinicians is the data coming out of initial polysomnographies can be poor, and there's a fairly high incidence of having to redo the study because of poor data. So all the more reason for, as a practical matter, if you go to talk to your primary care physician or a general practitioner, that they head you down the road of getting that fairly straightforward home study, affordable, and it leaves a scenario monetarily that between the study, assuming the study shows something, and a physician's willingness to prescribe a device subsequent to it, a $500 scenario to be diagnosed and treated versus a $3,000 scenario. So that's becoming more and more prevalent as time goes by. So that's something for individuals to consider when they're considering doing something about their sleep apnea, that there are choices nowadays that are affordable, not only with the purchase of the equipment, but also with the diagnosis of it. So that's an important thing to bring to the listeners, is that this isn't necessarily, there's still a place for polysomnography. They have good use, particularly in the looking at the minutia and the specifics of that there's some indication that there's a neurologically based or complex apnea going on. Polysomnography is a perfect tool to look into that. But Again, it's just I wanted to make sure that I got that out there to your listeners that there are affordable options
that don't require you go sleep at a sleep study center.
That's right. That's right. And as time goes by, again, and I think Medicare, I don't know this, but I think Medicare's willingness to acknowledge this, you know, tipping their hat to this type of take-home study is its affordability. And it really does provide the clinician, the physician, a really good idea as to what's going on. And I think that the insurance companies, Medicare, Medicaid, have been slow to see this, but it's kind of the elephant in the room here. You treat somebody's obstructive sleep apnea, you treat their sleep apnea, it increases their quality of life, it decreases their susceptibility to cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, all the health benefits to that, and that decreases their overall cost. There's less hospital stays, there's less trips to the doctor, and it ends up being an increase of quality of life to the individual that suffers from that disorder, and it ends up saving the insurance companies in the long run. So it's kind of a win-win situation for everybody to provide an affordable option for diagnosis and treatment.
You know, I did my own sleep study. I recorded myself a couple different nights, and the first time I recorded myself, I used a digital audio recorder that we use here at the studio. And I took it home, I turned it on, I set it on my nightstand, went to sleep. I brought it in the next day and put it on one of the studio computers and opened it up in an audio editing software package. And I could see this long period of time where I was really quiet. And then right around 3 a.m. in the morning, which I know this, I start snoring at 3 a.m. in the morning. I start snoring and I sound like a train. And the part that it was such an eerie feeling to be listening to myself snore. And then all of a sudden stop snoring. And I could see how long it was because the software shows you, you know, has a clock on top. It has D marks.
Yeah.
You can see the ticks of seconds. 34 seconds later, I went, I was like, oh my God, I wasn't breathing. Right. And not because I didn't want to, because I couldn't. It wasn't until my body, my CO2 levels went so high that my body sprang into a rescue mode and I opened up everything. And you could even hear I moved after that. I'm repositioned. So I must have come out of my sleep a little bit. And I thought, right. Oh my God. And there were three events like that night where I held my breath for over 30 seconds three different times. And I thought, this is not good. This isn't good. So.
Yeah. Well, and again, that's all the more reason to head down the road that you did in order to get some diagnosis, and you had a conversation with your physician about it, and and now you're being treated and you're starting to feel better from what I understand. And as is the case commonly, I know you had mentioned this before in a previous conversation, but it is often the case that when somebody finally starts on this therapy, they have a sleep debt that they're trying to satisfy. They've been, you know, without recuperative sleep for such a long period of time that they spend a period of time catching up,
yeah,
so to speak. And
yeah.
You find that, that's really it. Again, the idea is to increase oxygenation and to allow people an uninterrupted sleep process that allows them to get into the later stages of sleep, so you start dreaming, and then during those late stages, stage 3, stage 4,
you know, it's funny you say that. I've had the most vivid dreams the past few nights that I remember all of my dreams all of a sudden. I used to just remember dreams occasionally. I remember all my dreams now, so that's obviously indicative that I'm sleeping better, right?
That's one of the questions that we ask, believe it or not, is whether or not you're dreaming and you remember those dreams.
I'm having some wild dreams. I mean, I'm having parties in my sleep. It's really great. Mark, we have to pull the plug on the interview. It's great having you on the show.
Sure.
The website is secondwindcpap.com. If you think you need a CPAP, or you know you do, and you're faced with shelling out, or you want to get some more information from Mark, call his group over there. Tim is over there. Tim helped me. Talk to them and see if this isn't possibly a solution to help you live a more superhuman life, a longer life, a better life, and keep doing the things you love. Mark, thanks for being on the air today.
Good talking to you, Carl.
Take care. All right, we're going to take one quick commercial break, and when we come back, the microbiome is going to be the discussion. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
best at real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer e-books, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now. Do you want freakish muscle gains? Freak Maker Build from AAEFX. It's a scientifically engineered post-workout formula that combines Protolan, whey isolate, whey concentrate, milk isolate, casein and egg, quality protein sources with carbolin, prealkaline, and medium-chain triglycerides. A 2-to-1 carb-to-protein ratio to optimize post-training recovery and repair. Freak Maker Build delivers 58 grams of fast-absorbing carbolin to replenish glycogen stores and 1.5 grams of Cre-alkaline pH-buffered creatine monohydrate. Get Freak Maker Build today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AAEFX banner ad.
You have a federal student loan? Did you know that the federal government has allotted millions of dollars to reduce or forgive your student loan debt? Are you getting your share of these federal forgiveness program dollars? If you answer no, then you need to call 866-539-2755 right now. FedAidAdvisors.com will qualify you right over the phone for free. One free phone call and FedAidAdvisors.com guarantees to reduce your payments, eliminate interest for the first 3 years, and even wipe your loan debt clean for those who qualify. The call is free to find out if you qualify. Call 866-539-2755 right now. That's 866-539-2755.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to oral health problems. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We've been talking about the microbiome for a long time. But this next discussion is fantastic, I can tell you that. It's almost like something you'd read in X-Men. I'm going to read the first two lines of this abstract. Some metagenomic studies have suggested that less than 10% of the cells that comprise our bodies are Homo sapien cells. The remaining 90% are bacteria cells. Think about that. What's left of us? We're being joined right now by Dr. Francois-Joseph Lapointe. How you doing, Dr. Lapointe?
Fine, thanks.
So what questions were did you set out, first of all, to answer in this particular paper?
Well, as you just said, it's probably disputed the fact that we are clearly outnumbered by bacterial cells in our body, even though the figures are probably not exactly right, but it's certainly an order of magnitude. So X-Men is probably a good example that you're given. So as a scientist, I was interested by asking the question, if we are a collection of bacterial cells and human cells working together, what's left of the human race? What's left of Homo sapiens?
Right.
And so I sat down with a couple of philosophers, and we wrote a paper about this called Being Human is a Gut Feeling.
Yeah, I love it. I love the play on words. And, you know, I remember watching a documentary that discussed the fact that I can't believe I just blanked out. The mitochondria, it was a bacteria that we acquired. And that's how we have mitochondria in our cells. And it's like, we don't realize, you know, I once said to Dr. Stephanie Seneff on the show, I'm starting to think that our arms, our legs, our head, our mouth, our nostrils, our lungs were all things that our microbes needed in order to be ambulatory. So they built us so that we could serve the microbes.
Exactly. Well, that's one theory. But for sure, if you were to get rid of all the microbes living on you, around you, and inside of you, then you would probably not be able to survive. So we are, in fact, living as a symbiotic association with these microbes. And, of course, the mitochondria is a good example of that, because a long, long time ago, it's called the endosymbiosis hypothesis. Cell, it's a former bacterial cell that now lives with us. And other studies have shown that the placenta is related to some viral genes.
Wow.
And so if you were to look at our old genome, then it's probably inherited in some ways from a lot of bacterial cells.
So when you and these philosophers sat down and started to discuss and explore this concept, where did you arise? What did you arrive? What ideas did you arrive at?
Well, it's kind of funny that I'm on Superhuman Radio, because the take-home message of the paper is that we are super individuals, being that the real biological individual is not Homo sapiens, is not the organism. It is an individual composed of the sum of the organism, including Homo sapiens, and the sum of all the bacterial species living on us that we call the microbiome. So it's this integrated association that is able to persist and survive as a whole.
Wow. I mean, we are really the mutants, aren't we? I mean, the one we are what survived. So we are the ideal mutation.
We are a community. I say when I give talks on that we're just a walking bag of microbes. So if we were to get rid of the microbes, then of course the bag would fly away in the wind.
Yeah, this is. Have you ever seen the movie? I know you probably haven't, but there is a movie by called The Nightmare Before Christmas by Tim Burton.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so do you remember at the end the way the boogeyman dies, all the bugs run away, and the boogeyman, there's nothing to him once all the bugs leave his body?
Exactly.
That, every time we talk about the microbes, I tell my guests, have you ever seen the movie? And they always go, no. And so that's why I feel
well,
you haven't seen
it. Well, I'm the only one who's seen
it. Yeah, you're the only one. You're the only one that's, but that's, when we think of our microbes, we are our microbes. We live to serve our microbes. And then,
well, and the opposite is also true. The microbes live to serve us. So it's like, that's why it's a symbiotic association, not a parasitic association. Uh-huh. The microbes are not our parasites. They live with us. And of course, people are afraid of microbes, the fear of bugs and illnesses and diseases. But as I was saying, they're part of us. If you were to weigh your gut microbiome, it's been estimated it's about the same weight as your brain. So it's like a different organ that you have in your body, and you cannot get rid of it.
Isn't that interesting? Because when we look at Australopithecus robustus and Australopithecus gracile, which was the divergence that led to who we are today, robustus ate only vegetation, roots, and twigs and so on. It had a giant gut and a tiny, tiny brain. And gracile was the first that started to pick marrow out of bones, and then it learned that animals were good to eat, and it started to hunt, and it started to eat animals. And its gut got smaller, and its brain got bigger. Mm-hmm. And that's what led to us. We are descendants of Australopithecus gracile, not robustus. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Yeah, it is interesting also that you're mentioning the gut, because of course the gut microbiome is directly related to what you're eating. So if you are what you eat, then, so of course if you're a vegetarian, you're going to have a different gut microbiome than if you're a meat eater or a whatnot. So there's a clear representation of your diet affecting your microbiome, or vice versa. We don't know.
Oh my gosh, this is really...
Maybe we are vegetarian because some of the microbial species living in our gut are craving for carrots.
We know that obese individuals, when they go and change the way they eat, their microbes change. We know that the ratio of Bacteroidetes to Firmicutes changes in these individuals when they change their diet. So we know that what we eat can dictate the makeup of the bacteria. But we also know those bacteria produce, when they digest food, they produce things that could be rewarding to the brain. And so you crave things. And that's why the hardest part of learning to eat a new diet is that initial stage, because your body is saying, but I want that. Well, what may be saying it wants it are the microbes, that they go, look, I don't want to die. Everything wants to survive. So they are trying to drive you to keep them alive and keep eating the diet you were eating.
Yeah, and there's been quite a few studies trying to test this hypothesis that we call the brain-gut microbiome axis. The fact that, in fact, some of our behaviors, our mood, some say that anxiety, autism, and some nervous neural behaviors are related to, in fact, our gut microbiome. And before that, we were always looking for gene therapies, and the culprit was our genes. And now we have to look at something else, the microbiome.
I think the microbiome is the way to go, personally. I mean, it's. I think, you know, when I look at geneticists, I think to myself, they look at things like this. I want to get in the room next to me. The door is over there. I don't want to walk over there. I want to walk straight through the wall, so we need to put a door here. But the path of least resistance is to go where the door is, and the door is where the microbiome is, in my humble opinion. So
yeah. For now, we just have to be careful not to follow to enter the wrong door, and to make sure that we're not forgetting that it's probably much more complex than that. So there's an interaction between our genes, the microbiome, epigenetics and genetics, and the environment. So and some people maybe would think that the microbiome will solve everything. It's not that simple.
Well, I want to talk about our environment when we come back. Okay, we're talking with Dr. Lapointe, Dr. Francois Joseph. Is that? I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name just now. I lost my notes. Dr. Francois Joseph Lapointe. We're talking about the microbiome. We are actually mutants. How do you like that? I always knew it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm.
Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high-protein potato chips. With 21 grams of high-quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high protein, low carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert, but this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
The 1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's ultimate stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Francois Joseph Lapointe. We're talking about the microbiome and the symbiotic relationship it has with us. It has made us who we are. We have made it who it is. We get along nicely until something bad comes into the mix. We live in an aseptic world today, Dr. Lapointe. Everybody wants to be sterile. Hand sanitizers. I recently did a blog about the popular herbicide Roundup, that there are actually several patents that Monsanto holds on Roundup as an antibiotic. In higher doses, it acts as an antibiotic. In low doses, it acts as an antimicrobial. And that's how it disrupts the growth of weeds by destroying certain microbes in the soil. Our environment is not friendly to microbes today. What role is this playing in illness in general, do you think, if the microbes are so important to our own survival?
For me, it's a major problem. We all know about the all different strains of bacteria are now resistant to antibiotics, but they're in our food and the environment and some products that we use on a daily basis without even knowing it. And I think that you're right. We live in this society where people have a fear of microbes, but the good microbes, the good critters that live on us, they're protecting us from the bad guys. And so if one is using hand sanitizer every other day or every time they shake hands with someone else, then they destroy this natural protection from the bad guys. And this is why we have so many autoimmune diseases in developed countries, and they don't have that in Africa.
Did you see there was a study that was published a couple weeks ago, and we didn't talk about it on the show because there were other things that were probably begging for more attention, that showed that children who grow up in households where the parents wash the dishes by hand are healthier, and they postulate that it's because that there are more microbes left on the dishes and flatware than when you put it in the dishwasher.
Yeah, of course, when I give conferences about this, I tell people to eat dirty. Don't be too cautious about the food you're eating. If your children are playing outside, let them play in the mud, and don't be afraid of all the nasty microbes. It's funny because I was in Guinea, right in the middle of the Ebola outbreak. And, of course, I didn't know at the time, and I was eating all sorts of bush meat, and you were not supposed to eat monkeys and rats and bats, but I had fried bats and rat stew and so on and so forth. And I did this experiment trying to become Batman by sampling my oral microbiome before and after eating a bat. And I can tell you the results because they're currently being analyzed. But the thing is that, of course, I could probably have caught Ebola by doing so. But I was trying to show by this performance that if you change what you're eating, contrary to our genes that are fixed, you can change your microbiome. Mm. And you can become something else. Maybe I can become X-Men or Batman, as you were saying in the intro. And this is really empowering because maybe we can tweak our microbiome to change actually who we are. And this is the point that we try to make with these philosophers, that the concept of self is changing. We are not simply the result of our genes and our environment. Another thing comes to the picture. The microbiome, which is like our internal environment, is also part of us, and we can change that. We have power over that.
You know what I just thought of, Dr. LaPointe? So science is agreeing that research on rodents is not valuable because it doesn't really predict how things happen in humans. But meanwhile, we have this great investment in transgenic technologies. We have rats that resist diseases. We have rats that are more muscular because of Dr. Se-Jen Lee's group over there at Harvard discovered the myostatin null mouse. Maybe the reason we've been developing these transgenic rats is not to do research on them, but start eating them to cure diseases.
Yeah, and I think that the other way of looking at that is to go in other countries, in different communities, where people develop natural protection to some of those diseases that have been appearing in the Western world. And so we've looked at it from the scientific point of view, using transgenic animals and so on and so forth, and chemical and different products. But sometimes you go into the bush in the middle of Africa or South America, and you find a particular community of indigenous people who are not affected by illnesses that affect us on a daily basis. And so this is one way, a different way of looking at this. And this is what I've been trying to do in some of my research in Africa.
You know, when I was a young man, I worked at the racetrack with horses. And I've told this story on the show before. And I would, I would work with horses. You literally couldn't, when a horse took a dump, had a bowel movement, you just went underneath the straw and you flipped it up into the basket. We always had a basket. Mm-hmm. So I was getting horse poop on my hands, horse urine on my hands, horse dander, horse mucus from their nose. Then I would go eat lunch. I wouldn't go wash my hands. I would open my sandwich up. I'd eat my lunch. You know, I never got sick when I was a young man, when I worked at the racetrack. I never got the flu. I never got a cold. And I used to really think about it because people in my house would get sick and I would be immune to it. And it could be because of the exposure to the stuff that I was exposing myself to working with large animals like that.
Yep. Well, the thing you should probably do is quit your day job and go back to the racetrack.
Yeah, you're right. Listen, I've said, Dr. LaPointe, I've said that 150, 200 years from now, the jobs that people will want will be the landscapers and the brick masons, the jobs that our grandparents struggled for to just to make a 25 cents a day. And the jobs no one will want are the jobs where you sit at a desk all day because those people will die early.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's amazing. It really is. What do you want people to take away from your research? What do you hope that people who read it take away?
I hope that people will probably, as a take-home message, realize that the microbes are not the bad guys. We need them. They need us. We're like in a partnership relation. If we kill them, we kill us. And so it's very important to pay attention to these neighbors that live on us and we live with them. And so don't kill them. Don't overuse hand sanitizers and antibiotics. I'm not against all of those, but you always have to be careful when you use such things.
Don't overuse them. Don't be a clean freak. This is a modern phenomenon, being a clean freak. You know, that's
really... Exactly.
I want to thank you so much for being on the show today, Dr. LaPointe. It was a great conversation.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
So there you have it. More on the emerging microbiome. It's coming true, folks. What I've been saying all along, that our microbes define us. They've defined who we are. Who knew? I want to go ahead and thank Dr. Jeff Galini for the first half hour of Science for Humans, Vitamin C. If you have any questions for Dr. Galini, you can go to superhumanradio.com. There's an Ask the Scientist button. You can submit your questions there. Please do. Also want to thank Mark Seeger from secondwindcpap.com. If you have a need for a CPAP machine, I'm telling you, they have $100 CPAP machines over there. I mean, you could buy one and try it and throw it away for that money. And then, of course, Dr. Francois Joseph LaPointe, who's actually going to be speaking in San Francisco in June about this subject. If you Google him, Dr. Francois Joseph LaPointe, you'll find out where he's going to be. I should have asked him when he was still on the air, but I forgot. I'm a dummy. Anyway, okay, tomorrow is Thursday. Brooks Cubic is off the air, but we're still having a physical culture radio episode. It's going to be an interesting one, I promise you that. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening today.